In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is Advent and the beginning of a new liturgical year. It is also December, and you just have to mention December or the holidays or Christmas to most people, and they will immediately think of things that they have to do during this time. Decorating, buying presents, making special holiday meals and desserts, hosting and attending parties. For most of us, eating too much, maybe drinking too much, sleeping too little, getting exhausted, gathering with family and friends. For all this, it is many people's favorite time of the year. For many, though, this time of the year between Thanksgiving and New Year's is the most painful of all. The first holiday season without a loved one, or after a divorce, or in a new home far from family, or after any other large loss can be very painful. If we have lived long enough, we have been through Decembers of both kinds, joyous and sad, connected and lonely. And we know that the joys are given to us as a gift. But we also may find, and it is a paradox, that in the sorrow and the lonely times of life, we often receive another gift. Sometimes, in those difficult times, the layers of our defenses are peeled away, and we discover our deep longing for God. The great Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, gives voice to this longing as well as any that I know. Advent is a season that gives voice to our longing for God, to our longing for a new creation, to our longing for God to restore the world, a longing that is often buried by the frantic pace of our lives, by our need to be doing something always, watching something, looking at something, or more often doing several somethings at once. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann puts it this way: Advent is about hope in a culture that attempts to fend off its despair by frantic, self-indulgent busyness. There is no other season of the church year that provides such a tension between our worship and our lives out in the world. Advent is about longing for God, longing for Christ to redeem the world and the fullness of life that God intends for all of creation, which we know is not yet here. Advent texts focus on us waking up to the reality of God, on the state of our being, more than doing. In our Anglican tradition, we are familiar with paradox and complexity and the importance of ritual, the importance of honoring the cycles of life and death. We do not rush from Palm Sunday to Easter, skipping the cross and Good Friday altogether, as some Christian churches do. We also do not skip forward into Christmas during Advent. We do not sing the great Christmas hymns or deck the church halls with red and green until it is time for our first Christmas Eve service. Instead, in Advent, we wait and watch and light one candle, one more candle each week of Advent to mark the advancing of the season. Advent is the most complex and the most countercultural of liturgical seasons. Perhaps that is why Advent is my favorite season of the church year. And yesterday, 16 of us gathered for our Advent Wisdom Day, and many of the people said that Advent was also their favorite season. In Advent, we rejoice, but in a minor key. Some parts of our culture tell us that to be happy, to be loved, we have to buy the newest gadget, the brightest diamond. We have to give the best presents. We have to have the brightest parties and the best foods. And we have to be happy. And no time of year do we buy into this myth more than in Advent. But when we come to worship in Advent, we are reminded that we are loved just as we are. We are reminded that things of ultimate importance need tending. Our souls, our longing for God. Advent invites us to tend these things, to wait, to wake up again and again to what is most important in life. Walter Brueggemann suggests that many of us keep to such a frantic pace and continue to be frazzled as a kind of a protection, because this frazzled state of being can keep us numb. It can keep us from hopelessness, but it can also keep us from hoping. Temptation to numb ourselves from the pain of the world is understandable. Just in the past few months, hurricanes, devastating fires, and flooding have brought suffering and pain to thousands of people. Worldwide, the suffering is even greater. The climate report released by our government on Black Friday tells us that things are worse than we had feared, that the raising of the temperature on the planet is happening at a faster rate than previously predicted, and that although there are some things we can do, the consequences of what we have already done to the planet are irreversible, and that we are to expect more extreme weather events. Given the reality of today's world, and I'm not even mentioning all the other things that you can think of, all the suffering in the world, where do we find hope? Advent gives us a complex and deep hope. Gospel passage from Luke that we just heard is one of what we call the apocalyptic texts that we hear in Advent, texts about the end time. And this particular one is sometimes quoted to prove that Christ's second coming is right around the corner. For hundreds of years, people have quoted this text to say that Christ's second coming is right around the corner. And there have been dates, people gathered on hillsides, predictions. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus tells us we do not know the time or the hour. There are several ways that these apocalyptic texts have been interpreted in our tradition. The one that resonates with me most strongly is that at the end time, all of creation will be made new by Christ. All will be redeemed by Christ. And this interpretation doesn't presuppose the complete destruction of this planet in order for that redemption to take place. We know that it is certainly within human power to cause the complete destruction of this planet, however. So as we struggle with our own pain and the pain of the world, perhaps we can hear the words of Jesus as a call to hope. Be on guard, he said, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with worries, distractions. Lift up your hearts, the celebrant says at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. God is always calling us to let go of our worries and distractions and lift up our hearts to Him. Yesterday, in the Wisdom Day, one of the spiritual practices that we explored together is from the Orthodox tradition, and it's called the Prayer of the Heart. So together we practiced this spiritual practice of opening our hearts to Christ so that His love can flow through us. Imagine what could happen if more and more people on the earth stayed connected to God by keeping their hearts open to Christ, to other people, and to His creation. How often do we let distractions and worries keep us from living fully in the present moment? How often do our heavy hearts keep us from lifting up our heads to see God working in the world around us? The gift of Advent to us is this. Advent is an invitation to pay attention to what is truly important. Advent invites us to wake up our hearts, to lift up our hearts, and tend our souls. This soul work in Advent requires time and attention and intention. It does not happen automatically. But you are here today. Being here, gathered in worship for Advent, is the first step. We've already decided to give this time to God. So I invite you to continue to listen to the scriptures and the hymns and the prayers of Advent, and let the hope of Advent, the hope for a new creation, for a redeemed world, come to its fullness wash over your exhaustion, your distractions, your worries, your despair. And this week, while you are at home, pick one thing, just one thing to do to remind you that your soul is precious to God and that God wants you to make more space in your life for God. I will end with this Advent prayer. This Advent, may you be out of your depth, as the deeps of the night sky contain but cannot explain God's mystery. May you lose count, as an infinity of stars is dazed and amazed by God's presence. May you be in the dark, as the moon is eclipsed but held safe with all that is in the palm of God's hand. May you be at a loss for words, as the word is spoken in the silence of the night in the beauty of God's creation. This Advent, may you find God, and may you never lose hope. Amen.